Well, I said this to last weekend's crowds, but even though I've been back for 2 weeks, it's been good to be back. It's been 1 week. It's been 1 week since I've been back. It's good to be back. I said that at last Sunday's Masses, but this was not among them. So good to be back for all of you as well from my retreat that I took a week back and some vacation time that I took previous to that. It was a wonderful time away, also wonderful to, so to speak, be home again and to be here. It's been 3 weeks since I've preached a Sunday homily, so I don't know if I'm going to be rusty tonight, but I'm sorry if I am. As we enter into today's gospel reading, today's scriptures, you know, in some ways it's kind of a self-explanatory story from the gospels. Pretty straightforward. Our Jesus is asked, you know, what's the most important? And his response is pretty much a response that we would respect, that we would expect. And at the same time, it was still asked. Sort of an interesting approach for the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees were already people who would have known very well what the greatest commandment in the law was. It was an extremely obvious question. In fact, if you were just a practicing Jew, you would know what the greatest commandment in the law was. Because the greatest commandment in the law was repeated on your lips on a daily basis. Hear, O Israel, I am the Lord your God. This was something that he spoke to them from the very beginning. You shall love me with all your heart and with all your mind, with all your strength. Speak of these things at home and abroad. Drill this into your children. They prayed this prayer every day. And if you were extremely religious, as a religiously observing Jew, you would actually write this down on a piece of parchment. You would fold that piece of parchment into a little box, and you would place that box and secure it to your forehead when you prayed. And so imagine this, as the scholars of the law, the Pharisees of the law, go before Jesus with the answer in plain view, and it's like they were asking, well, do you know your ABCs? So it's like, well, that's kind of a stupid question. Well, it's not a stupid question, but it's not exactly a question that's going to trip up the Lord, as they were hoping that they were going to do. Well, that's okay. It's a good example, nonetheless, of how you and I are. Sometimes, like the Pharisees, we seem to walk through life at times, and the answers before us are actually fairly simple. Some of the most important things are some of the most obvious things. But it's precisely sort of that context why we find ourselves maybe blind in a way that we wouldn't expect we would be blind. Jesus uses some very particular language when he responds to the question of the Pharisees. He says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Interesting to note that the Lord does not command that he be first in our lives. God never says, you shall love the Lord your God first. God says, you shall love the Lord your God with everything. I want to be your all. I don't want to be the first among a set of things to be loved. Well, I love God. Here is my first God. I love him the first. And then after the Lord, I love my husband or my wife. And then there's my kids, my family, my friends. I love my job. Maybe I don't love my job so much. I'm working on loving my job. You know. And then I like my hobbies. They bring me joy. There's a lot of things in my life that I love. The Lord is the first, and everything else kind of follows after the Lord. And God says, if I'm first in your life, it's not enough. If I'm first in your life, it's not enough. I don't want to be your first. I want to be your everything. Odd, it might seem. If God gets all of our love, what's left for everything else? All of these other very legitimate things. Do we have anything left for all of the other things that ought to be loved? If we love God with all. You see, this is a revelation to you and to me about who God truly is. And God isn't just the supreme being among many beings out there. God is he who is in all things. God is the one who is behind all of what we love. Anything that brings us joy, that brings us pleasure, that brings us wholeness, that brings us peace, that brings us joy. He is behind it. This is one of the graces that I received, that I receive, I think, every year when I take my retreat. I was down in pretty much Nowhereville, Kentucky, out in the middle of the sticks. There's a monastery down there filled with cloistered Passionist nuns. Holy, holy women. Beautiful just to watch them pray. And of course, they do have voices of angels. So they sing all of their prayers. Wonderful. I was there and I literally had nothing to do but pray all day. That was my only job. Just pray. Just be with the Lord. I didn't have to love any of these other things while I was on retreat. All I needed to do was be with God. And as God reminded me, as he reminds me every year when I'm on retreat, when all I have is him and nothing else, he says, "You see? You see?" God says, "When I am your all, do you see how you become filled? Do you see how your life changes for the good when I am everything for you?" You see, because when we make God our all, when God is everything, when he is the one that fills our minds, that fills our hearts, when he is the reason for everything that we do, and he's the reason for everyone that we love, it all kind of falls in, just kind of as it should. But when I'm in places in my life where all of these other legitimate things aren't really going so well, maybe I'm not loving my spouse very well, maybe I'm not loving my parishioners very well, maybe I'm not loving my family very well. Maybe I didn't love that guy who cut me off in traffic very well. When I find myself failing in love in the various areas of my life, inevitably, it's because I failed in my love of God. Confessing that, it's about just the most often thing that I confess when I go to confession. Lord, you were not my all. Lord, when I even place you first in my life, if you're just first among many things, sooner or later, even the first thing starts to get squeezed because so much competes for our attention, for our love, for our time. Even God gets squeezed in our lives, even if he's first in our lives. But when God is all, then we see him in all things. And I love my spouse in God. And I love my siblings in God. I even love my hobbies in God. I love golf, or I love hunting, or I love crocheting, or I love playing a musical instrument. All of these things, when I see that God is underneath them, then I am empowered, I'm freed to be loving God in those things instead of loving them to the exclusion of him. My focus is here, it's not there. But if I see the Lord in all things, if he is my everything, then even this over here becomes a way in which I express my relationship with him. And so it's not that anything in our life changes, it's just that God gives us a different set of glasses. He changes the perspective and he says, "Do you see? Am I your all? Am I your everything? Am I the one that you live for? Am I the first one that you think about when you wake up in the morning? Am I the last one that you think about when you go to bed at night? Am I the one that is in your heart when you love your wife, when you love your siblings, when you love your children? Even when you encounter those who are your enemies, who make you mad, who make you angry, who frustrate you, who hurt you, do you even see me in them? Do you call upon me then? That transforms us. It transforms you, it transforms me. And so I'd like to offer us a way, maybe a short reflection, to kind of launch us off. Maybe just to keep that in our hearts this week. This is something that I've given before, I believe, at a Sunday Mass. I'm going to give it again. The Lord told me to do so. So you get to hear this if you've already heard it. This is something that St. John Paul said in the year 2000 at World Youth Day, when he was at the vigil for prayer and the millions of young people were before him. And he was speaking about this very reality, that underneath all things is the God of all, is the one who provides every joy, is the one who fulfills every desire. And do we recognize it? He said this: "It is Jesus, in fact, that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is he who provokes you with that thirst for fullness that will not let you settle for compromise. It is he who urges you to shed the masks of a false life. It is he who reads in your hearts your most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. It is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be grounded down by mediocrity, the courage to commit yourselves humbly and patiently to improving yourselves and society. In saying yes to Christ, you say yes to all your noblest ideals. Have no fear of entrusting yourselves to him. He will guide you. He will grant you the strength to follow him every day and in every situation."